Welcome to Down There Aware. I'm Alex.
And I'm Mary, Alex's mama. Each week, we sit down to discuss various topics concerning gynecologic cancers and women's health care.
In 2019, at the age of 32, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer and became painfully aware of just how unaware I was of everything down there.
On this podcast, we interview experts, share personal stories, and explore new research. No subject is off limits, so we caution you to listen at your own discretion.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Down There Aware. We are so happy you have decided to join us today. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much. We would love to know how you found us. So feel free to head on over to our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, and we are Down There Aware on all of those channels. And let us know. Let us know how you found us. Also, don't forget to rate and subscribe and give us a review. That helps that algorithm that we all know and love and don't understand, but know it has something to do with helping us out. So we would love to have you help us with that. And let us know what you think of the podcast. If there are topics you want us to cover, or if there's something you want to know a little bit more about, let us know and we can do that research for you and bring you a new episode.
And tell your friends about the podcast. Every episode may not be specific to them or a concern they might have, but here and there, there might be something that would be of benefit to them. So let them know about it. I know my neighbor, she went back to the very first episode and listened over again.
Bless her heart.
She's a loyal listener, and we are so excited and happy for that. And we're grateful.
This week, we got to talking about how very frequently on the podcast, we'll talk about knowing your body. You're the person who knows you the best. Advocate for yourself. You know your body. But we got to thinking, how do people know their bodies? And are we saying that with some people maybe not being as aware of their bodies or not knowing how to become aware of your body? Or maybe have never been in a situation where they needed to be in tune with their body. So we thought we would talk about that a little bit today, just about how to know your body.
Yeah, and you know, it changes depending on your age, depending on your environment, depending on your health. How to become aware and what to look for changes from time to time. So it's always a challenge, I think, and something to pay attention to.
Yeah, my first experience of being in tune with my body came when I was 15, and I had these mysterious symptoms that came up, and I was visiting a doctor every day. There was a particular week that all my symptoms had just kind of gone overboard, and we were like, okay, this is a big deal. We need to go to the doctor. And I saw a doctor every single day, and I just remember they ask so many questions. And unless you're prepared, it can be hard to remember or hard if you haven't tuned into some of those things. So if your body feels different, make a note of that. And if you have a bad memory like I do, maybe actually make a physical note of that and keep track of it just in case you need to look back for some reason. If you're visiting a doctor or they, ask, have you ever felt like this? And you're like, well, actually, I have, but I didn't think it meant anything because you never know those kind of strange symptoms that happen randomly. They might mean something. They may not, but they might.
Well, and in making the notes, it's a great idea to figure out descriptive words, because when your doctor does ask you, if you haven't given it thought, haven't maybe made notes about it, it's hard to think on the fly and describe intensity or location or all kinds of things. So it's important to think in advance, or when it's happening, think about what you can write down and the things maybe you won't remember, so that when you do see a doctor, you're able to give them accurate information.
And also, along with being descriptive, remember that everything is relative. And so if you say, well, it's a five, well, a five on the pain scale, as we've talked about the pain scale before, a five is different for everybody and it's all relative. So if you can add a descriptor of, my pain was so bad, I had to sit down. My pain was so bad, I couldn't walk. Those are descriptors that help your doctor understand how a pain or some kind of affliction is impacting your life. And it gives them kind of a baseline to go from and to know how serious your condition may or may not be.
Right. We all have different pain thresholds. And to be able to explain that to your doctor in a way that he can grasp the effect on you is really important. I remember one time I was in the hospital and I was trying to explain this pain. And I said, look, I've had open heart surgery and I birthed an 11-pound baby. I'm telling you, it's worse than those. Because I just wanted, it was to a nurse, and I just wanted her to understand it was bad pain. It was a high level of pain.
In addition to adding descriptors and naming your pain and location and what it feels like and how intense it feels, also making note of the time of day, the day of the week, where you are physically, or what you were doing, what activity you were doing. All of these things can come together and form a pattern. So if your pain is onset when you stand up, and it happens every time you're in this location at this time of day, you can kind of start to put a pattern together. I know Mom, when she had some debilitating headaches, went to a headache specialist, and he gave her advice to write everything down.
Right. And in addition to the things Alex mentioned, it's good to write down what you have eaten that day, and when you ate it. Maybe something about the weather, because the barometric pressure can certainly affect your pain level and your health. So those are all things that can go in a journal. And the way I look at it, I always say to my doctor, I want your file folder to be as full as mine. And so I'm going to give you a lot of information. You may not need it all, but if I don't give it to you and you do need it, then shame on me. So I tend to give too much information, but I feel like I'm allowing the doctor then to sift through it. Also, there may be things that I don't know would affect the doctor's thinking, but I give it to him anyway, just so that, because he knows if it's going to affect his diagnosis or treatment. And so I give him everything.
Well, it makes me think of those now. You'll get a idea of my mindset and my preferences, but it makes me think of those true crime shows where, I don't know, we're in episode 5 of 10 and there's new evidence that comes out, and the person knew that they had this evidence, but they weren't sure if they should bring it forward. And then the police are really frustrated because, yes, this would have helped us in the beginning. And it's the same kind of concept. If I can give you every single piece of information that I know, then you can help me with your expertise as a physician and as an expert in this field. You can help me with my condition, because, yes, there are textbook cases, but personally, I've never one time in my life been diagnosed with something and the doctor said, you're a textbook case of this. Ever no. In my life. Does that exist? I mean, truly, I want to know, is a textbook case just made up? Or are there people who a doctor says, this is exactly this. I know it by looking at it. It's perfect. It's exactly what I read about in medical school 20 years ago.
That would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
if such a thing does exist.
Never happened to me.
No, yours have always been the untold stories of the ER or the, you know, things you never knew.
Mystery diagnosis.
That's right. Yeah. Crazy stuff. But knowing your body, you're able to not just tell your doctor, but you're also able to take care of problems that aren't bad enough to go to the doctor or to the hospital. But things, what comes to mind for me is dehydration. One of the first things I was told when I was diagnosed with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy was, do not get dehydrated. It's one of the worst things you can do for this condition. And it was just kind of pounded into me. And, you know, I never gave it a whole lot of thought, because at that stage in my life, I wasn't really in a position to be dehydrated. I didn't live at the beach, or I didn't work outside, or, you know, anything like that. So I didn't think a whole lot about it. But as my condition got worse, I found that I would stand up from a sitting position and immediately feel dizzy. And so just my regular 6-month checkup with my cardiologist, I mentioned something to him one time, and he said, are you drinking enough? I said, well, I think I am. And he said, well, you may very well be dehydrated, and that might be why you're dizzy. And so from that moment on, I paid more attention to what I drank. I really ended up doubling up on the water I drank. And water is just about all I drink, other than in the mornings I love to drink tea and coffee, but I drink lots of water. And since I've paid attention to it, I don't have that problem with dizziness anymore. I mean, a simple fix, because I found out the answer.
Well, and speaking of dehydration, I think that's one of the symptoms that people are the most unaware of, just like mom was unaware. And just what you should be drinking every day is astonishing. So according to the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, they recommend that men drink 3.7 liters or 125 ounces a day, and women drink 2.7 liters or 91 ounces a day.
That's a lot.
That's a ton of water. And it's one of those things that, you know, you think, oh, I drink, you know, water here and there throughout the day, and I'm good about it. And then you think, do I drink 3 liters mm-hmm. of water every day? Probably not.
Well, and it's hard to gauge sometimes. And for me, and this is just how I do it, I drink a lot of LaCroix. I drink it because it has no calories and it tastes good. Once you get past the notion that this is not a soft drink, and when I put it in my mouth, it's not going to be sweet. it really, for me, it works. And so I know how many ounces are in a can. And so I pay attention to how many cans I've had. In between each can, I drink an 8-ounce glass of water, just regular filtered water. So I can count as I go along how much water I've had. And of course, there are many days when I've not had enough. And I don't pay attention like I should. And then I'll stop and go, okay, let me see how much I've had. And then I really focus on drinking enough, drinking more, because I know if I don't, I'm going to have some issues. You know, feeling a little dizzy when you stand up is one thing, but if you get so bad that you pass out, or you get so dizzy that you fall over, you know, especially at my age, you can really get hurt. And it's crazy to not avoid that if you can just be careful and drink a lot.
For sure. And that's just one thing. And, you know, you don't have to have HCM to stay hydrated. It's important for everybody to stay hydrated. But I do think that dehydration is one of those sneaky things mm-hmm. that happens a lot that people don't realize. So keeping track of your water intake is really important. And there are apps that you can do that on. If you don't want to carry around a notebook or, you know, keep notes in your phone, like MyFitnessPal, it's a free app. You can track everything you're eating and drinking. And it's just totally free. And everybody has added different stuff in it, so you can keep track of that. But it really helps out. And, you know, getting to the down there aware part of knowing your body, There are a million different apps for tracking your cycle. Whether you are hoping to get pregnant, you can track your cycle in that way. Or whether you just have irregular periods, you can track that. Your pain. If you have endometriosis, you can track your pain and your moods. And so I would encourage everybody to find an app that works for you and track every little thing, because you never know when that information is going to become important.
Well, and you don't want to just write off things you're feeling. Talking about being aware of your body, you don't want to just, when you have a little pain, just ignore it and think in your mind, well, you know, that was nothing or whatever. Because, and I'm not saying be a hypochondriac and every time you have a pain, run to the doctor. I'm not saying that at all. Just the opposite. In fact, if you're aware enough of your body and what is abnormal for you, that's the time then you need to pay more attention. And if it continues, you need to do something about it.
Well, and I think back to before my cancer diagnosis, and I wonder sometimes if, you know, the pain that I had, was that a pain from the cancer that was in my uterus? I don't know. It could have been, but I never asked about it. I never checked up on it. I think as women, we often are made to believe that periods should be painful, that they should be uncomfortable, and that we shouldn't pay attention to the pain we're experiencing during our cycles. And that's really not the case. The more gynecologists I follow on social media and read up and learn about various studies that are happening, periods shouldn't be painful. And there are a lot of people who are hoping to change that mentality. But if your periods are painful, keep track of it, because it could be something bigger and it could not be. It could just be a change in your cycle, or you've moved, or, you know, you've had a stressful month or something. But it's just always nice to have that little bit of information, even just when you go to the doctor and they're like, what was the day of your last period, or the first day of your last period? I never knew. I no. always had to look it up. But if I didn't keep track, I wouldn't have been able to.
I tend to write things down. That's probably my generation. Although I do have apps that I use and I'm learning. But I keep a tablet in my purse, and I keep a tablet on my nightstand beside my bed, and I keep a tablet in the chair I normally sit in the living room. A lot of that is probably because my memory is not as good as it used to be. But I do write things down a lot, and Alex tends to use the apps more. Whatever works for you, I think, is the way to go. Just figure it out. Figure out what's going to be more natural for you. Not a pain, because if it is a pain, you're not going to do it. What works easiest and more comfortably for you, because once you get in that habit, you'll see the rewards. The benefits outweigh any of the,
the annoyance.
Yeah. If you feel like it's annoying, or it takes too much time, or whatever, once you start reaping the benefits, like being able to answer questions, understanding your body better and being able to share that with your doctor, I mean, those things are going to outweigh anything that might bother you.
I saw someone recently, surprise, surprise, it was on TikTok, who was trying to help people with ADHD conquer small tasks that kind of build up, and mostly like care tasks and cleaning and things like that. But she said, set a timer, do the task, end the timer, and then really take in how long it really took you to do that. And she went through some things in her day, and she said, it took me 3 minutes to make my bed. It took me 10 minutes to unload and load the dishwasher. It took me 45 seconds to tidy the living room. And just to really put into perspective how little time those things take, but what a large impact they can have on your life, especially gathering information to bring to your doctor on a regular basis. It just helps you know your body better. And that's what we're talking about when we say know your body and you are your best advocate.
You know, my friend who used to cut my hair in Orlando before we moved to Tallahassee, she would tell me things like, and she did my nails as well. They look at your nails and they can tell by certain streaks or ridges on your nails or things like that if you have some health issue. And I don't know how she learned that, but she did. And she had told some of her clients, you know, I think maybe you should see your doctor. I mean, she didn't try to diagnose anybody, but she would refer them. She would point out what she noticed in their nails or their hair was falling out or something like that. And she would say, I think you should talk to your doctor, bring it up to your doctor. And I learned a lot from her just sitting in her chair and listening to her. The things that you can see in your body, feel in your body that tell you you need to move on to seeking more information.
Well, and you know, just that kind of nagging of, well, this is a little weird. My best friend recently told me a story that she was at her regular dermatology checkup, and she's very fair skinned, has red hair. And so she's very cautious of taking care of her skin because she knows that she is prone to having skin issues. And so there was a spot that concerned her, and the PA who was seeing her for that visit didn't seem bothered by it. She had her child with her who's just under a year, still breastfeeding at the appointment. And the doctor said, well, you know, if you are, if you want a biopsy, you're going to have to pump and dump. I'm not sure why, but that's part of the procedure. And she wasn't prepared to do that. And she said, well, you know, it's okay. We won't do that now. And then she ended up going back because she just had a nagging feeling that it was just something wasn't right. And so she ended up getting it biopsied, and it ended up being cancer. She had a spot of cancer on her nose, and you know, it will be taken care of, and she's going to have it removed and have lots of follow-ups and to make sure that it doesn't spread. But this PA really didn't think anything of it, but that nagging feeling in the back of your mind, because it's something that's different, it's something that is not usual for you, and if you really know your body, you have to speak up about it and not be afraid to do that. And I was so proud of her when she told me that she had done that, and that she credited some of her courage to the podcast and saying that it doesn't matter if a doctor doesn't believe you. You got to speak up because it's your body and it's your health and it's your life. And to think what could have happened if they didn't catch it as soon as they did. But again, it's just knowing your body. She was so in tune with her body that no matter that she wears SPF every single day on her face, she still got a spot of cancer. But she knew, I'm fair-skinned. I have a proclivity, you know, to get this kind of disease. And so I need to be on top of it. And she stuck to her guns and did it. So that's what knowing your body can do. It can help you prevent horrible things, horrible outcomes.
Right. And knowing your body and trusting your gut. I think that's just as important to understand your body so well that you can trust your gut. You know something's not right. It makes me think of, I guess it was last March when I just had the weirdest feeling in my throat and chest. It was like I couldn't swallow comfortably. And I lived with it for a few days, and it just didn't get better and didn't get better. And so I finally mentioned it to my doctor. I thought it was from some medication, new medication I'd been given. And he kept saying, no, I just don't think it's that medication. That's not one of the symptoms or one of the side effects, And we didn't really argue, but I just kept telling him, I really have this issue. Well, make a long story short, as it turned out, my heart rate was sky high and I was in AFib. Well, I hadn't been in AFib before. I didn't understand how it can make you feel in the chest and throat area. And to me, I just was having trouble swallowing and felt kind of tight. And I really thought it was the medication. So, but I knew it was something. And he was very kind and took care, great care of me. A lot of stuff had to happen quickly. But just knowing that that feeling I had in my throat was not normal for me and I needed it investigated. And I have a great doctor who listened to me too.
I mean, we could go on and on and on with a variety of stories that we have experienced or that our family or friends have experienced. But, you know, the gist, I think, of what we're trying to get at is we talk about knowing your body. And, you know, what does that mean? It means you are so in tune with your body. You know when things are weird or they feel different, and to the point where you need to be seen for it or you need to take note of it. Just so at your next regular checkup, you can say, hey, I've noticed this pattern. Is this something to be concerned about? It might just be, well, you're in your mid-30s now. Mm-hmm. And well, you're approaching 70 now. You know, like it may just be part of the aging process. Or it might be, well, you might be entering menopause. So let's talk about, you know, that change. But whatever it is, it's always good to have that knowledge to speak about it with your doctors.
And if you've recognized something, you've written it down, and even months down the road, you have the same thing happen to you, you can go back and look and say, okay, a pattern is developing. But if you don't write it down and make note of it, then you may forget all about it and not realize that it's happening again and is something to investigate.
Well, and it really helps when you change providers. I mean, I know when I moved from Orlando to Tallahassee to go to school, I was so fortunate to have my mom's thorough notes of my neurology and my neurosurgery notes, so that when I was having issues my senior year of college, I could pull those up to this new neurologist who didn't know me and say, this is what happened before. You know, can we talk about this? And receive treatment. And so it kind of gets you past the, okay, you might be crazy phase, where it's no, here's a real, you know, example of these were the symptoms I was having. This was the treatment I received. This was the surgery I had. This was my outcome. And to have all of that, it makes transition so much easier from doctor to doctor, or going from your general doctor to a specialist.
Yeah.
That transition is also daunting. But if you have those symptoms written down and all of your experiences, then it makes it just that much easier.
Yeah. So the bottom line is pay attention to your body, stay aware, and trust your gut.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.